Should we mention football?
Let's not.
Football?
Yeah, football. The thing that you were watching and that you're now not watching and are now listening to us trying to soothe, as a balm to soothe your nerves after an apparently very close football game.
I don't know. Is anyone surprised the Seahawks lost? I mean,
oh, Seahawks, I thought you were talking football.
Oh, no.
Isn't disappointment part of being a fan? At this point, are we really surprised?
You're really asking the wrong people for that. Becky's from Boston. I'm from Chicago. She's a Red Sox fan. I'm a Cubs fan. We're used to our teams losing.
Yeah, having grown up in the 80s and 90s in Massachusetts, definitely, yes, part of, you know, being a fan of the Red Sox was definitely learning to relish that loss.
Yeah, so what's it like now being the evil empire?
They're still the Yankees. We're no way the evil empire.
Yes, as a longtime Cubs fan, yes, you are.
All right.
This is Ask an Atheist, 253-584-1480. Give us a call if you got one in you. And my name, as usual, is Sam. And as usual, with me is Mike. How are you today?
I'm doing pretty good. It's especially good because I don't give a crap about football.
Hello, Becky.
How you doing?
I'm doing pretty good. So we have an announcement for an upcoming event, an Ask an Atheist-related event. Ask an Atheist will record an episode in front of an audience on Wednesday, January 30th at 4 p.m. The event is in coordination with the TCC Science and Inquiry Club. There's no charge for attendance, and there's the possibility of extra credit for TCC students if you attend.
Extra credit.
Is that something you would do, Becky? Extra credit for going to an event? I don't know how that works.
We have a basic culture credits thing that you do have to do something outside of school at least once a semester.
And unfortunately for Mike, it's not a live studio audience. You were talking about how you really wanted to be able to say that.
With it. Yeah, it's just a good... I like it. You know, we're getting a laugh track with dead people on it.
Oh, we might have a laugh track with dead people on it.
All laugh tracks have dead people on them. When you listen to a laugh track on a lot of TV shows, you're listening to dead people. It's like looking at the night sky. You're hearing the laughs of people long gone.
People
that recorded the laughs were once alive.
Well, yes, and they're now dead, but their laughs live in infamy.
You think I would know that, right?
Yeah.
Well, we've done one episode in front of an audience before, about just a little under a year ago, back in March of 2012 at the NFA conference. And this is our friend of the show, Casey, who's at the helm of the TCC Science and Inquiry Club, really wanted to put stuff like this on. And I can tell you, this is probably the first of, I hope, a series of events we'll be putting on with the club down there. They recently got accreditation, and they're you know, an educational organization here in Tacoma, so it's keeping atheism local, I suppose, which I think it'll be a lot of fun.
Yeah, they're not shipping any of our atheists overseas, I guess.
No.
They get all of our atheism is normally made in China.
red A or A, what H1A is that?
Usually really high lead levels in our atheism.
Are you saying atheists are like the flu? Sam?
No, I was trying to get one of those visas you get when you're a computer programmer and or you're coming from out of town. I forget what they're called. They're not.
There's no atheist visa though.
There ought to be. Ba-dum-bum. So, yeah, well, again, Ask an Atheist, 253-584-1480. Let's talk about some news. We've got a lot of... why are we talking about the Catholic Church so much, Mike?
Well, because they're jerks, and they're frequently jerks on a pretty regular basis.
Yeah, it's... It seems like there was a recent push in the Catholic Church somewhere in the wizard school, which they decided that they were going to really start pushing politically in some places. They've done some stuff here. They're doing some stuff in Europe. And apparently in the UK, same-sex marriage will see a return to Catholic persecution. More than 1,000 Catholic priests signed a letter claiming that laws allowing same-sex marriage in England could force Catholics out of some professions. They compare David Cameron's proposed bill, due out later this month, with changes enacted by Henry VIII. The Bishop of Portsmouth told The Telegraph, "I am very anxious that we could be arrested for being bigots or homophobes." A government spokesman stated, "We have been very clear that our plans for equal marriage will fully protect the freedom of religious bodies to preach, teach, and put into practice their beliefs about marriage."
Will heads roll?
Well, of course not. Show me the gay Oliver Cromwell. You know. On the doll.
That would have been awesome.
Yeah. Well, actually...
That's a musical.
I'm sure probably someone...
We just have the same idea.
I'm sure sure there's someone's sociology thesis in there somewhere that says Oliver Cromwell was gay. But
I might be getting in trouble for that one.
You might. That, really, I mean, what are we talking about comparing to Henry VIII? It's because he was the one that was the last to change the definition of marriage widely as perceived in England. And
he was.
That. Yes.
And yeah, oh yeah, Henry VIII, you know, changed the definition of marriage in the UK, not for the greatest of reasons. But that was one of the things that happened that began the Protestant Reformation, which allowed people to think ideas that were different from the Catholic Church, which led to things like, well, not the Protestant Reformation, whatever, but it led to things like the Enlightenment.
Yeah.
It is widely considered to be one of the things that eventually led to the Enlightenment of intellect that Europe had back in the day. And so that's bad.
Well, to them, yes.
Okay.
We're talking about people that are responding to cultural changes that, again, progress marches on, and we're pushing towards something that's a bit more tolerant, a bit more progressive, and they don't like it. Yeah. And what they're saying, essentially, is that not that, like with the case of Saudi Arabia arresting people for celebrating Christmas last week, which is actually an example of persecution. Mm-hmm. What we're saying is that you're not allowed to tell people what to do. Well, then I'm persecuted. That's not the same thing.
No.
If I'm allowed to eat a hamburger, am I persecuting a Hindu? Am I allowed to eat a bacon sandwich? Am I persecuting an Orthodox Jew or a Muslim?
And that's what really comes down to it. This is the difference between Henry VIII. This is the difference between the Commonwealth. And is that these places passed laws that were explicitly anti-Catholic. They passed laws about Catholics. They passed laws that said Catholics are bad. Catholics are not allowed in our land. The religion of the land is Protestantism or, you know, whatever. This is not what they're doing. They're saying is that this group of people, which did not have these civil rights before, now has these civil rights. That's all this law. That's the difference.
Mm-hmm. That the people who are the persecutors here are the people who are having their ability to persecute taken away.
You know,
not their rights, but their bullyhood. If I'm beating the crap out of somebody and the cops stop me, I'm like, well, you're just taking my freedom away.
That's exactly it. Is that the people are going to be arrested for being bigots and homophobes? Well, here's a tip. Maybe don't be a bigot or a homophobe. You don't have to agree that they should be allowed to get married. You don't have to say, yes, I love gay marriage, but don't act with bigotry. Follow the laws of the land and let people have the civil rights that they deserve to have. It's really that simple. It's not that hard. It's not gonna prevent you from going to whatever heaven they've invented this week. I don't know.
The thing, though, is that they're usually not talking about these marriage laws. What they're talking about is anti-discrimination laws.
Right.
And it's the same thing as saying, if I have a restaurant and want to put up a whites-only sign, am I being persecuted if the government says, no, you can't do that?
That's a very salient point.
I mean, one of the things that they're looking at, if 1,000 Catholic priests are worried that they're going to lose their jobs, they're not worried about losing their jobs as priests. They're worried about losing their jobs as educators in the Jesuit tradition. And really, I mean, they're saying, you know, oh, in a religious school, they're going to arrest me for teaching that, that marriage should be between men and women, or one man and one woman. And really, you know, the government is very clear about this particular bill. It's allowing gays the right to marry. In France, we're having the same thing discussed by Hollande, where it's legalizing gay marriage and adoption of children by gay individuals.
So the law explicitly says they're continued allowed to be bigots in their schools after the law is passed.
Much as you know, our local law that was just in Washington saying that gay people can get married, no church is going to be forced in Washington to marry marry any same-sex couples.
You know, that's true. We've actually have data that we could collect here. Maybe this is something we talk about. We could have somebody, not us, because, you know, they're not going to talk to us. But let's find out. Has anybody's rights really, has any religious organization really been affected by the gay marriage law here in Washington State? I'm certain the answer is going to be no.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure, too. There was a Christian radio show host, I forget her name, but she achieved meme status last week when she said that if we pass same-sex marriage laws, then the resurrected Jesus will be forced to marry a gay man.
Wait, really?
Yes.
What?
Oh, yes. Wow.
That we're getting into forced marriage here now. We're talking about...
I'd watch that on YouTube.
What I find so ridiculous is we're going on potentially a decade in some parts of this country where gay couples have been allowed to get married.
Yeah.
So during that time, can these people point to one, not a dozen, just one example of someone being forced to marry somebody of the same sex against their will? Just one.
Right. No, they're not going to talk about that. What they are going to talk about is how, you know, because their laws, their moral laws, are not reflected in the United States Code, that this equals discrimination against their religion.
Yeah, that either the government enforces my religious rules,
yeah,
or I'm a victim.
It's right to bully. This is right to marry versus right to bully is what this is. All right, so let's get to that other news story. And this is women ordination, which, frankly, as Bill Hicks liked to say, I don't care about women priests. I'm not going to finish that bit because we're on the radio, but whatever. But this is weird. The Vatican has often rationalized their unwillingness to take action against pedophile priests by saying that red tape prevents it. When the subject changes from protecting the children of parishioners to punishing priests who disagree with their social policies, the bureaucracy just disappears. All right, somebody pronounce that for me.
Bourgeois.
Really? Okay.
Yeah.
Ray Bourgeois, a longtime peace activist and Catholic priest, has been fired by the Vatican because of his support for women's ordination. The letter he received from the Vatican's Congregation for the Doctrine of the Faith is signed by the group on behalf of the Pope and states that the Pope's decision in the matter is a supreme decision, not open to any appeal without right to any recourse. Now, here's the thing. We don't care who are priests and who are not priests in the Catholic Church. It doesn't matter to me. I'm not going to believe you guys any more or any less because you have women, men, or dogs being your priests. I don't really care. What the difference here is, and this is what really struck you, Mike.
Mm-hmm. It's the fact that the set of priorities we're looking at here,
yeah, yeah,
is that, my hands are tied. I can't do anything to stop, to defrock this priest. You know, there is just so much paperwork I have to go through. I don't care how many deaf children he's raped in this orphanage.
Yeah.
This is just too hard. But, wait a minute. He didn't rape children. He wants women to be priests. Oh, thump.
Gone.
It's amazing how the bureaucracy just falls away.
And Congregation of the Doctrine of the Faith. That's a phrase that we're all familiar with, right?
Actually, that's Ratzinger's old alma mater.
It's also the Inquisition.
Yes, it is.
It's the updated title for
it. Yeah, the Inquisition became a lot less popular as a name. Unless you were like a metal band.
Yeah, unless you were in Sweden in a metal band. Yeah,
had an umlaut to that.
Where would you add it? Over the O?
I don't know.
Yeah.
Over the U.
Over the U. Oh, there is a U, yeah.
There's a lightning bolt in there somewhere, too.
The drippy font and everything. But, yeah, it goes back to this. We have two news stories today, and they're both about the Catholic Church, and they're both about the Catholic Church doing ridiculous things. And I feel it necessary to re-extend my request to anybody who might be listening who's Catholic. Help me understand how you do this. I don't hate Catholics. I've never hated Catholics. I have too many Catholics in my family to hate them. You know, there are fine, fine people. Most of the Catholics I've met have been fine people. Most of the religious people I've met have been fine people. What the heck is up with your country? What's going on there?
Well, Italy is even asking the same of the Vatican itself. Italy, for a short time, suspended all financial transactions to the Vatican so that visitors and tourists couldn't even take out cash from ATMs. It was a cash-only city-state. Because
I'd like to see that sign in Latin.
I want to have
the Vatican cash-only.
I want to see the Pope have to hawk that golden throne.
The Vatican doesn't even want to be transparent about its financials in order to be able to take credit cards from tourists and whatnot. I mean, the Vatican's just so out of touch with so many people at this
point.
Yeah,
and that's the thing we used to say that, you know, in America Catholics are like this, but it's very different in other parts of the world. But even other parts of the world that were traditionally like, no, we do what the Catholic Church says, are starting to say, no, this doesn't make a lot of sense. I don't get what's going on, and I don't want to, you know, we're bashing the Vatican. We're totally bashing the Vatican because the Vatican is making...
Well, they're jerks.
They're jerks. They're making a ton of really stupid and destructive decisions that's going to hurt them just as much as it's going to hurt anybody else. And that frightens me.
Well, we shouldn't be... I guess I don't worry about it hurting them. I not at all.
I'm sorry. I should rephrase that. I don't care about people at the Vatican. I do care about Catholics. This is
going
to hurt Catholics.
I agree there.
Yeah, yeah.
But if the Catholic Church, you know, shriveled up, like, you know, when Pac-Man dies, like, woo, 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 boop, boop, that would be awesome. I think it would be all the better. I think that the priests that happen to be good people and aren't, you know,
yeah,
boy rapists.
Right.
They would still be priests, and we would probably see, you know, a greater discussion go on, because you wouldn't have letters that are there without any right to recourse or appeal anymore.
Yeah.
And you wouldn't have a portion of every donation goes to the legal defense of pedophiles.
Wait, this is a right to recourse and no appeal, which means that this is the Inquisition here, or the doctrine of the faith or whatever, they're speaking on behalf of God. That's what they're saying.
Yep.
Well, that's what religions do.
That's what supreme decision is.
And that's
speaking on behalf of God.
Oh boy. Yeah.
That's how they roll,
it's
man.
It's one thing to I do personally think it's one thing to be in front of a pulpit and to sort of make it up as you go along and to say this is what God says based off of this book, and it's another thing to hand over a form 673/3 and say God has sent me this form to kick you out of the church. This is a lot less. This feels a lot less you know, churchy and a lot more Scientology-y to me when you have this weird bureaucracy. I realize that Scientology stole a bit from the Vatican in order to build its bureaucracy, but this does feel a little bit more like tax forms than religion, and that weirds me out a little.
They did steal the whole bit about locking up heretics.
Yeah.
They kept that part.
Well, now...
The Catholic Church doesn't do that anymore.
One source of many, really.
Well, they did lock up the butler.
Oh, they did. Yeah, they did.
So I guess that's still around.
But he got pardoned, and he's apparently still pals with the Pope. So, you know, there's that.
Why would you be?
Really, you know, it's what he did. And hey, if you have to, like, you know, get the guy food and stuff like that, I think it makes more sense that you're friends with him than if you're not. I mean, would you really want to prepare meals every day for a guy that you hated?
Well, actually, if you hate him enough, that's a great place to be.
I bet there's a vetting process. This is Ask an Atheist, 253-584-1480. When we're back, we're going to be talking about kids without God and the American Humanist Association.
Atheism TV. News, events, community, entertainment, debates, conferences. A massive repository of over 3,000 recent and fascinating atheist videos from all over the internet. Or watch The Infidel, our own regular news show. Visit the shopping area and buy something for that special atheist in your life. Or rent captivating shows, movies, and documentaries directly in your browser. Atheism TV, the world's best source of atheist videos. Visit atheismtv.com.
Looking to buy or sell a home or other property in Edmonton, Alberta, or surrounding areas? Demand a professional and call Don Summers of Professional Realty Group at 780-237-4718 or visit dndrealty.ca and discover how he works with you to achieve your goals, save you time, and protect your investment. Don Summers of Professional Realty Group. It's time you hired a professional.
Billy, I am the Queen of England. You must give me your lunch money.
Why?
Because it'll explode.
I don't know.
I'm the Queen of England. I know things.
Well, that makes sense. Here you go.
Wait, Billy. Just because an authority says it doesn't make it true. Come to Camp Quest Northwest, where you'll learn critical thinking and science in a fun-filled week-long nature camp.
No!
Camp Quest Northwest can be found at campquestnorthwest.org. Donations and volunteers accepted. The devil is not real.
I'm melting!
You can advertise on Ask an Atheist on the radio, on our website, and in our podcast. People just like you who have the same interests are listening right now, just like you are, and thousands will download this podcast and listen to it later. If you have a product, service, or idea to sell, people here in the Pacific Northwest and people around the world, thousands will hear your message. Let us help you sell your product, service, or idea. Contact us at advertising@askanatheist.tv. That's advertising@askanatheist.tv.
Welcome back to Ask an Atheist, 253-584-1480. And before we go to our interview, we got a really weird voicemail. We're not going to play it, but we're going to talk about it because it's a long voicemail, and I'm not exactly certain what we would cut. Becky, what was the voicemail we got?
Well, first of all, we'd cut all of the words that are not fit from radio.
That's true, yeah.
It was, as far as I can tell, two possibly ladies pretending to be very religious, telling us how much we needed Jesus.
Yeah. And that was the thing. It was really... you heard it.
Well, it didn't have a lot of direction to it. It was mostly just a bunch of exclamations of faith. And and I don't know. I don't really know how to read it. Because at first I thought it was a bit of a Poe where it was kind of dangling on there. But then it went a little, you know, just on the edge of, is this real? Is this fake?
Yeah.
But the longer I listen, I'm like, yeah, this
has got to be a Poe, yeah.
This is a phony one.
I wonder if somebody's going to be expecting us to take the bait on that one. I don't know.
Do they want us to take a fade, or I can never really tell with this sort of stuff.
Yeah.
If they're just like, they think, this is funny.
The phone number, again, went to Texas, which seems to be an ongoing theme for us. But, I mean, phone numbers could be anywhere these days. They don't necessarily have to be where you live, thanks to Google Voice. But it's just, it was really weird. It started pretty solid. It actually sounded like a recording of another radio show, another religious radio show being played on our voicemail for us. And then it took a very strange turn when they started talking about abortion. It was very, very strange.
Yeah, that's when it became not just a faux-pas, but it really became just a comedy sketch.
Yeah. Yeah,
and that's
it was like a bad production of improv everywhere. It really was, yeah.
Yeah, they didn't really decide what the point of the sketch was before they started it, and I think that was the problem.
So we're asking you, voicemail trolls, please write better scripts, because we do find them, like, that one guy, the best voicemail received in 2012.
Ahoy, ahoy.
Ahoy, ahoy, or whatever. And isn't that how you say hello? Or no, it's how Mr. Smithers says
hello. Mr. Burns.
Mr. Burns, Mr. Smithers.
Mr. Smithers is his assistant.
Right, okay. Shows you what I know about
The Simpsons.
The Simpsons. All right, so we do have a nice thing to talk about today. Becky Hale is the recently elected 20th president of the American Humanist Association. She has been an advocate for secularism and humanism for many years as co-owner of the online freethought merchandise store evolvefish.com. She is also the co-founder of the Freethinkers of Colorado Springs. Becky's here to talk with us about the New American Humanist Initiative, their Kids Without God website. Thanks for joining us today. How are you?
Hey, hi. I'm doing great. How are you folks today?
Doing really good. So you've served on the board of directors for some time as vice president. What was the genesis of the Kids Without God website?
Oh, I think it was a look around, and we saw a demographic that was in need, and nobody was serving them.
Okay.
So we stepped up.
So what if we were to go to the Kids Without God website, what kind of stuff would we find?
Oh, it's fun. There, when you, on the landing page, you get an opportunity to kind of pick what age you are.
Mm-hmm.
And if you're a younger child, say 5, or I would imagine you probably want to be reading before
right.
you get into it. But there's a section for younger kids, and we have Darwin the dog, and he walks people through some basic life lessons.
You know, I really like Darwin the dog. I did check out the kids' website, and I like Darwin the dog, and he's super cute, and you sort of thumb through pages of a storybook, and one of the things that Darwin the dog says after discussing some things about stories that people tell, and Darwin comes out with saying, well, Darwin is a humanist, and one of the things that sort of struck me, and I don't know whether AHA discussed it, is there any irony of a non-human being called a secular humanist?
I don't even know if I wasn't in on any discussions they might have had about that. But, you know, what's the term, anthropomorphic?
Yeah.
We gave him lots of human qualities. And he has his little 7 promises, which are really ageless. Anybody could live by those 7 promises. You don't have to be a 5-year-old or an 8-year-old. You could be a 40-year-old or a 90-year-old, and they're still good promises to live by.
I do like those promises. You know, one of the things that that Darwin the dog says is, you know, he knows that some people still believe in old-time stories, and that's okay, sort of referring to stories from long ago that people either wrote down or told orally, presumably religious stories. Do you anticipate any children who do believe in these religious stories to be accessing the site at all?
Well, they might. Certainly, there's no disclaimer to get onto the site. You don't have to sign in and say you're an atheist. So we won't have any way of preventing kids who are believers.
Mm-hmm.
But that's okay. Children have questions, and they're welcome to get them answered, and then they make their own choices.
I would say it's more than okay. I would think that that's a really good idea to have something aimed that they can read on their own and sort of interpret as they will in sort of an environment where they can stop and think about it and stop and give it some time. I realize that you know, people just ran, non-humanists going to this website might not be your target market, but there's going to be a lot of kids out there who may feel, you know, sort of humanist tendencies and not know that there are groups out there who feel the same way. When I was a kid, I was one of those guys. So I feel, you know, I think that's an important part of what you guys are doing.
Oh, absolutely it is. Just the awareness that there are other people who have those questions and maybe have come to a different answer than the people you go to church with came to.
So
go ahead.
No, go ahead.
Well, it's just such a comforting thing for an individual who's out there searching and asking questions to understand that they're not alone. It's something that my husband Gary and I experienced quite a bit when we first started Evolve Fish.
Yeah.
We used to put the little ads in, say, Discover Magazine, things like that that would show up at the public libraries.
So one of the resources on the parents page links to an article about helping our children become humanists. The article's main thrust is helping kids learn how to learn to prevent indoctrination and create open-minded, humanistic children. Is there anything else you might add on how to raise our children to be humanists?
Well, you raise them with honesty and love and compassion. You answer their questions as forthrightly as you can, keeping track of their ages. You show compassion in your everyday life. You model it.
Okay.
I think that's really for all parenting, it's modeling.
So one of the things that your daughter actually has an essay, a really lovely essay on the AHA website about what it's like being a humanist kid. Did she have any input on the Kids Without God page or the teen page? Because I believe she's a preteen or teenager
now. Yeah, she's 13 now. No, she didn't. She actually was a little bit hesitant about the advertising campaign for it.
Oh.
We wanted to have pictures of real-life humanist and atheist kids and people in the advertising campaign rather than using stock photos.
Yeah.
And Tani saw the ad, which I think is adorable, where the young lady is looking up and says, I think I'm too old for imaginary friends. But you can get the flavor of who my daughter is from reading that essay.
Mm-hmm.
And for her, that was too out there.
Okay. I mean, I can kind of understand that. It you know, when you're a teenager, I was definitely...
Acceptance.
It's acceptance, and then there's the possibility of being made fun of and stuff like that. I certainly felt that in a big way when I was a kid.
Well, you don't want to be put out there and draw attention to yourself a lot of times when you're an adolescent. I know that certainly when I was a kid, you really kind of kept your head down and didn't want to draw attention to yourself because a lot of times it would just give certain other kids, I think in this case, religious kids, ammunition to attack you in school.
But that said, I think this is sort of the process by which people stop feeling, you know, the sort of the sensitivity and the persecution about being a humanist or an atheist or not believing in religion is to do exactly what the American Humanist Association is doing, is to show that there are kids who don't believe in God, who believe in the precepts of humanism, and that there are tools for them, and there's a place for them to go just like anyone else. Was that one of the focuses for building this website?
Well, of course.
Yeah.
I mean, it's to reach out. It's to provide the resources for kids who maybe they are from a humanist family, but maybe they're not, and they're questioning, and they're insecure about asking their parents. Very often, kids in this position are in very conservative households.
Yeah.
And it's maybe not even safe to do the exploration openly. And so this provides them that resource without being intrusive.
You know, talking about resources, there's a real difference between the kids portal and then the teens portal. And I think there's a disclaimer that says, you know, this is teen stuff, doesn't have stuff that would be appropriate for children. How did you come to select those particular resources? Did you have any teen focus groups?
No, they didn't. We have a much younger staff at AHA than a lot of the leadership is. and they're, you know, they've been felt some of these other organizations where we've done the linking, like to Planned Parenthood and
right.
The other organizations like that. We've been fellow travelers with them for years, and we have done cooperative projects with them. We've in the early days, some of those organizations were actually supported by the AHA, and so there is this symbiotic relationship And so there was a sense that it wasn't really necessary to reinvent every wheel.
Yeah.
So if there was a resource out there that was already prepared and was doing a good job with the topic, it just made a whole lot more sense to refer people to that resource.
It's something that Becky and I talk about, because Becky is an educator, and that is, kids are always smarter than we think. They always are. I think there's a tendency in adults to underestimate where kids are intellectually, and I think pointing them at the actual resources that that make up the website and make up the data, is a really good idea, and I'm really glad that you guys are doing that. Now, I am a web developer, and among many, many other things, so I do have to ask, and bear with me, but this was a project entirely developed within AHA?
Yes.
Well, that's fantastic. And that's another thing that I've gotten, and this is something I actually want to talk about, is a lot of people, I'm a humanist, Becky's a humanist, we're on the board of Humanists of Washington, and people like to say in the atheism community that humanism is for older people or is something else, and when they say that, they tend to ignore that there are a lot of young humanists out there. And within the AHA organization, like you said, you have an older leadership, but a lot of the people who are working at the organization are, in fact, very young. That's what you said?
I would think almost all of them are young. Our executive director is young. Our development director is young. They're all pretty young.
Yeah.
I think probably the oldest, I haven't interviewed everybody, but I think the oldest one on the staff is probably our fellow who's running the COCHAR educational piece of it.
Okay.
He's probably the oldest, Bob Behrman. But it, AHA, the humanists, I don't know why. We've got this reputation for all being old, gray-bearded, gray-haired people hobbling around, gasping our last breath. And that's not the case at all.
And it really, it's something that sort of grates on me, because I'm not young. I'm an adult. I'm not a kid, but I'm not a senior citizen. I'm not one of these people who doesn't take, who doesn't say controversial things. I'm on a show called Ask an Atheist, and I just spent 20 minutes saying about how terrible, the Catholic or the Vatican is being these days. But
right.
Humanists apparently don't challenge. And this is, it's actually an image that really I feel strange about now. I do want to change the subject. You've been recently elected to the president of the AHA. Congratulations.
Well, thank you.
Yeah, so
I appreciate it.
So what are you expecting the AHA to do in during your tenure?
Oh, well, we're going to leap tall buildings with a single bound.
Did you hear that, Mike?
Yes.
So do you have any other than your teen website, which is really fantastic, or your kids' website, which is fantastic? Well, what other things do you have planned for the AHA?
Well, some more expansion, more press coverage, more understanding. The Educational Center, it has got the adult curriculum that they've been working on for a couple of years ready to go and are rolling that out. We're going to be increasing the offerings of programming for younger people. So we'll have some more curriculums. They're in the works now.
I did see a joint press release about how you're partnering for a bit with the Harvard Community Humanists to be looking at building some humanistic communities around the country as well.
Right. That came out a month or so ago, I believe.
Yeah, more on that later, by the way.
Yeah. I'm not 100% up to speed on that, to
right.
be perfectly honest. We do so many things, and I just can't, I'm just not I'm not on the ball on all of it yet.
Well, AHA is a big organization, and like you said, it's an organization, and that is the difference between the atheism visibility movement as we know it today. AHA is a big organization. It does a lot, and it's an organization with a long and storied history. So I'm not surprised that you're just getting started in January, the first month of your tenure.
Yeah, I took the title the 1st of January.
Yes.
So it's been, it's not that I haven't been involved. I've been on the board for 8 years.
Right.
And vice president for 4.
but
it's,
there is a change when you when you're suddenly
so
in charge of it.
Going on, yeah.
Yeah.
We've been around for over 70 years, so we've been slogging away at this issue for quite a while.
Yeah.
And it's so it's good, but I'm seeing younger people involved. I'm excited about that. We also have a link, of course, to Camp Quest.
Oh, good.
One of the great rising stars, you know. And I see you guys are going to have a Camp Quest in the Northwest.
We've already had one, and I've done an episode. I actually produced an episode at Camp Quest, and actually in the next segment we're going to be talking with two board members of Camp Quest Northwest about this year. So that's coming right up.
Oh, that'll be fantastic. Well, I have my son lives up there in Edmonds.
Oh, wow.
And he was one of those adolescent atheists who wasn't shy about it.
Oh, yeah.
He kind of almost bullied some of his Christian friends.
Well,
good.
All right. Becky Hale is the 20th president of the American Humanist Association. She is an advocate for secularism and humanism for many years. She's the co-owner of EvolveFish.com. Thank you very much for your call. Or for your time.
Oh, you're very welcome. Thank you.
All right, thank you. This is Ask an Atheist, 253-584-1480. I'll probably take a call after the break, and we'll be talking about Camp Quest Northwest.
So, picking you up at 8 tonight?
Sure.
How do I get to your place again?
Get off the freeway, turn left at the burger joint, past the Humanist Center, right at the...
What? Humanist Center?
Yeah, you know, the place where freethinkers have their meetings, hold events,
hello?
Access the resource library, drop their kids off for daycare.
This could be you and your friends in the near future. Contribute to the Humanists of Washington Humanist Center Fund to establish a physical home for freethinkers in the Puget Sound. Go to humanistsofwashington.org and contribute today. That's humanistsofwashington.org.
Need a break from the theistic world?
Live in the Seattle area?
Like the Flying Spaghetti Monster?
Whether you're an ardent non-believer, steadfast agnostic, or marauding Pastafarian, check out the award-winning nonprofit organization Seattle Atheists.
Socialize at the third Thursday meetup, attend lectures, come camping, donate blood.
Connect at seattleatheists.org.
Seattle Atheists, we believe in you.
So what does everybody want to play?
Something new?
Something with guns. Lots of guns.
Something that supports playing other than combat, you knob.
Jerk face.
All right, how about Dead Stars from Dame and I Publishing? It's a sci-fi game that uses the Universal Decay rules, a variation on our usual fantasy campaign system. This system has an emphasis on social and technical skills, yet allows technical characters to make thousands of different weapons.
Hey, psionics.
Oh yeah, I'm gonna be a bug with big freaking guns.
Shape-shifting tech head for me.
Check out DameandI.net for the sci-fi horror game Dead Stars, as well as a listing of other products and to get involved in the community forums.
So you're on your Monday morning drive, and someone on Ask an Atheist says something that really, really gets your goat. You want to talk, you want to yell, you want to scream, and clicking the shiny red candy-like button just isn't good enough. Good! Call us! Leave us a message! Call Ask an Atheist at 206-420-0997 and vent your spleen now and for the future! That's 206-420-0997 and wait for the tone.
If you enjoy the programming we create on Ask an Atheist, please make a contribution with us. Your sponsorship keeps our show in the air and improves the quality of our broadcasts. Don't make us beg. Please go to askanatheist.tv and contribute today.
This is Ask an Atheist, 253-584-1480. Let's take a quick call. We've got Xander from Tempe, and he wants to talk about humanist children. How are you doing today?
Hi, I'm doing just fine. How about yourself?
Doing pretty good. You sound a little familiar. So what's your question?
Well, I had a question about specifically raising humanist children. And I was listening to the previous segment, and it got me thinking. And I was wondering, particularly in like a school educator setting or something like that, where there might be like some bullying or some pushback about beliefs, that kind of thing, from not just fellow students, but even potentially from educators.
Mm-hmm.
As a parent, someone can kind of step in. You can, you know, act on their part. You can help defend the child. But there's it often seems like there's not a lot that the child themselves can do to extricate themselves from that situation. And I was curious what your guys' perspectives were on what to do as a youth who is suffering this this particular issue.
Well, sometimes it's suffering and sometimes it's not. I really just kept quiet about religion in school for the most part. And for a good part of my life, I just, unless, you know, there was a period of teenage exploration. But other than that, I just kept quiet about religion, period. you know, my issues were slightly different. When I was in school, mostly the computer nerd thing, to be honest with you. But we do get a lot of emails, and it's a difficult thing to be these days, to be a humanist or an atheist in schools, because you're, unlike other types of bullying, sometimes you don't have a particularly sympathetic staff.
I think, one of the things that parents can do is really, arm their children to be compassionate, and then also to have a really good, strong sense of self. When you know that you've reached your own conclusions and beliefs based on really good introspection and looking at things rationally, you can, grow a very good sense of self and have that self-confidence and understand. I mean, just as we counsel children to do with any kind of bullying, you get bullied because, your hair's too curly and frizzy. Well, if you get a good sense of self about my hair is frizzy for a reason and I like it that way and this is how I want to style it and that's okay. The same kind of, techniques that we give to any kids. We've also had a lot of really good support, not just from parents, but from national organizations like the Freedom From Religion Foundation and the Secular Student Alliance.
Yes.
That have really gone to bat for a lot of high school teens who have received, bullying or, basically institutional privileging of religion. So we had the Cranston, Rhode Island school banner being taken down. We've had, children being able to organize with secular student alliances in their high schools and a lot of sort of advocacy on that end.
And that's really the path, is when making fun of somebody who's an atheist or a humanist instantly becomes a national cause and instantly becomes national news, as it had in the last couple of years. I think that's, just like any other fight for civil rights, that's kind of the path it takes. That's the way it has to go. There's always the little, the smaller battles, the person who doesn't want to make it a national fight or doesn't, where it's more ingrained stuff that doesn't meet any particular First Amendment trial. So it's raising children, it's not exactly easy, right, Sam?
That's true. That is definitely true.
All right. Well, thank you very much for your call, but we got we're coming. Yeah, thank you. Bye-bye. So joining us now is Chuck Wilbur, the president or the El Presidente, or what do you call yourself?
Director too.
The director. Director too, or just director?
President and director.
President and director,
yes,
of Camp Quest Northwest.
Yeah.
Also joining me is Becky Friedman, recently of the board of directors of Camp Quest Northwest.
Just elected to the board.
Just
yes.
Elected to the board.
And also our program director.
Yeah.
So I'm quite pleased to be in a advisory and leadership position within the Camp Quest Northwest family.
I'm tempted to keep on going on with the stuff she does. She does a lot.
Yeah, do not adjust your sets. This is Becky of Ask an Atheist. It's the same person. But she, among the stuff that she does, the Camp Quest Northwest is sort of a big thing. I like this because it's a combination of the two things that you're good at, or the two things that you want to do, which is the activism end of it, but you're also, you're an educator. Education is very important to you.
I am. And, and I kind of joke and say, well, what do you teach? And I say, I teach children. Well, yes, I'm a Spanish teacher, but really, primarily, learning, I get excited about learning, and I get excited when kids learn, and I get excited when kids learn in ways that are fun and memorable. And if you heard our, our episode 6 months ago, I think that definitely kids were learning and in ways that were fun and memorable and amazing. And they were all kids from non-religious families.
Yeah. So it's been about a year since we last heard from you, but since you last been on the show. This isn't your first dance with Ask an Atheist.
Nope.
So now that you're 6 months after your first camp, I imagine it looks very different than it did 6 months before your first camp. What's the perspective like now?
Well, before the camp, we were scared. I mean, it was,
of
quite
course,
frankly,
yeah,
scary. We wanted to pull it off. We wanted everybody to have a great time. And, I did a stint at Camp Quest Ohio to sort of get a feel for things. And I remember it was a sort of afterglow after I left. It was an amazing experience. I didn't want it to end. And that is exactly how I felt. And this is the feedback I got from all of our staff too. It was weird.
It was your staff was amazing, absolutely amazing.
Difficult to describe how well it went.
I've been doing the activism thing for a few years now, and I've never seen a group of people so tightly integrated with so little stage management. It was actually really intimidating to come to that, because you guys started you were doing the camp for 3 days before I even showed up, because my brother was in town. That was the week we did the Mulvey episode, and so I show up, and you guys are such a, you know, just such a tightly knit and tightly integrated group of people, and Becky's in them, you know, in that. It was a little bit like the Blob.
When you were sitting around our first campfire,
yeah.
I remember you remarking on that, and this was like that old metaphor boiling a frog. It's like you just don't notice around you what it's like, and
yeah.
you come in and you provided that contrast, and I got a sense for what you were saying afterwards that, yeah, it just was flowing really well. Everybody was there.
Yeah, 24 hours later, the Blob had assimilated me and I was a part of the group.
And you did quite well, yes.
But it was really, really cool. It was something, it was a very unique experience for me.
In addition, we've had staff in particular say this was the most meaningful experience of their entire life.
Wow.
Yes.
Okay,
yes.
That's big.
That was unsolicited. I'm not making this up. I'm quoting verbatim what I've been told.
Yeah. So, oddly enough, Camp Quest Northwest got some media not from me. You guys were featured on Nightline, and you were billed as an atheist camp. I'll ask Becky first, and then because everybody posted that screenshot of you from when you were sitting with the kids. Were you happy with your portrayal on Nightline?
Well, I was not specifically portrayed or featured, but the camp definitely was, and there were kids and staff that were interviewed.
What do you mean you weren't portrayed? Your picture was on national television.
I wasn't featured specifically. But you know, I think one of the things was, yes, it was billed as an atheist camp, and the sort of the point counterpoint person was a psychologist who deals in children's dream states and children's spirituality.
Oh, geez.
It was really weird.
A parapsychologist, parapsychology kind of thing. But you know, I think one of the things that someone said is no amount of TV editing could make these children sound stupid, and it was amazing.
And they really tried hard, too. I mean, when I was sitting watching the interviews, I was blown away. These kids were far more articulate than the adults were.
Yeah.
And this was not what was reflected on the show at all.
No.
In fact, we tried so hard to correct them and explain to them this was not an atheist camp.
Yeah.
Generally, the kids that come to this camp come from families of free thinkers. We don't believe in labeling kids. We tell the staff, keep your opinions to yourself. This is the kids' camp, not the adults' camp. And it seemed like there was someone who came on who really had an agenda.
No,
they really wanted to.
There was clearly an agenda to
right.
this bit. We should post, I think it's on YouTube, we should post a link to it in the show notes, but on our website. But I remember it was really strange. The lady they had on as the counterpoint, because there must be a counterpoint in the press. You know, we want to show kids who don't believe in God. Now we have to show how that's bad. And it was really, the division was very clear. You had people trying to have fun. This wasn't an evangelism camp.
Not at all.
This wasn't a camp as it was portrayed in Jesus Camp. It was just kids in a science camp. And then you have the argument from pseudoscience. You have this pseudoscientific crap psychologist who believes that children absolutely need religion for her
specific words were spirituality. They need spirituality to, you know, and I define spirituality. What is that? You know, such an ambiguous
she
term.
She says spirituality, but I looked into it a little bit. It's a stand-in for religion. She thinks kids need religion.
Oh, certainly.
And that, and that was it. And her credentials were ridiculous. It's, I don't know.
It was very uncomfortable when I got to watch it. It didn't portray it. I don't think there is a counterpoint to it, but it didn't accurately portray.
So what they didn't really communicate is why Camp Quest Northwest and the Camp Quest, you know, system needs to exist in particular.
Right.
Why do kids need a camp like Camp Quest?
I have a 14-year-old son. And I watch what happens to him at school. I've watched even teachers get into it with him. And he is really laid back about it. He's non-confrontational about it. He just takes things in stride. But that takes its toll on somebody.
Yeah.
And he's been brought to tears and stuff. But he keeps it to himself. And he just wants to be himself. He's like, he's a great humanist. I learn a lot from him, you know. And he is not the only one.
No.
We live in a culture immersed, drenched in religion. And so for 51 weeks out of the year, this is the culture these kids live in. And that's fine. This is good that they have to spend time understanding there are people with different opinions. It's like you want to find somebody that understands the differing opinions and stuff. Look for a humanist.
Yeah.
And then they get to come to this camp and it's sort of like, I get to relax and be around other people.
That
you know?
Was so clear in the interviews that I did for the episode.
Yes.
Was these kids were all of them. I recorded maybe 3 hours of material.
Oh, yeah.
And I only got to use 50 minutes of it. But every kid I interviewed was like, I'm a humanist. Some of them have religious parents, some of them didn't. And they're like, I've never been in an environment like this where I don't have to worry about what people are going to think
or how I respond to them when
I
they
respond.
Say stuff.
Some
of the kids were saying, I don't have to hear bless you when I sneeze.
Yeah.
You know
what
I mean? Yeah. So strange things everybody takes for granted. They just can be a lot freer.
Yeah.
It was really nice hearing the kids that had gone to YMCA camps or Boy Scout camps where they had all of those awesome camp experiences, but then they had to sit and be uncomfortable for grace after meal.
And they would say that too.
And they would.
They would say, oh, this is, except for that part.
Yeah. Yeah.
They would treasure those kinds of summer camps, but then this was all of that plus not having that weight.
And it was the camp that you were at. What was the name of the camp again?
It was it's Camp Kirby on Samish Island.
Camp Kirby on Samish Island. It's a camp that has religious camps. It is nominally a religious camp.
They rent out the camp to other organizations.
Yeah, and so there's signs with prayers on them and stuff like that. So you guys wanted to edit them so that they weren't... Again, so that it's protection from that, so that they can actually have a... I mean, what was the idea then?
Well, the idea was actually, it started out as a practical joke.
This is,
we were renting the camp. We were able to do stuff. We definitely did not do anything permanent or anything like that.
And
I thought it was hilarious.
Yeah.
And some people, relatives of mine, in fact, too, came up to me and tried to convince me that atheism is a religion, and this was an affront to anybody who believed that their family was above them looking down. And I'm like, that's fine that you believe that, but you need to understand that these are you can't imbue things and phrases with sacred there's nothing sacred about things or phrases or words or anything. You have to question these things, and that's what we're teaching the kids, that when you put masking tape over these things, we didn't do any permanent damage to them,
right?
But it's a way of saying it's okay to question this.
But that's what it comes down to, is the salient part of all of this, salient part of the news stories we did in the first segment, a couple of things that we said in the interview, and what we're talking about now. People believe that our beliefs are an affront to their beliefs.
Correct. And
that they have freedom to believe. We do not, because we believe something they find reprehensible.
And we're trying to teach these kids to be respectful, but there's nothing that's sacred.
Right.
You're allowed to question anything.
So, it's 2013.
Yes.
Camp registration opened on the 1st.
January 1st.
Right? January 1st. Yes. So, if you would like to have your children be a part of Camp Quest Northwest, now would be the time, right?
Yeah, you get a $50 discount when you sign up until the last day of February.
Mm-hmm.
And... you will be helping us out a lot by doing that, because it helps us do our planning and figuring out what kind of activities we're going to do. The more the merrier. So we're looking forward to that. $25 discount for siblings, and then after February 1st, after the last day of February, we go back to our regular camp price.
Now, there's the camp, but
right.
People might want to see what camp is like. What you've got some events coming up in the next couple months.
Correct.
That are sort of, I think it's actually called Taste of Camp Quest.
It's part of the Darwin Day celebration.
Okay.
On February 10th.
All right.
Becky's actually part of the group, part of the committee for Camp Quest that's heading that up. So
one of the counselors, Louie, and I are doing some programming. There's going to be stuff for older kids and younger kids there, and it's February 10th, hosted by Seattle Atheists at the 2100 building. That's a building that a lot of humanists and atheist groups in the area have been able to use to really good advantage.
And also, what is the target age for Camp Quest? What are your, like, how young is too young? How old is too old?
Eight. You must be eight prior to the start of camp. Eight
okay.
years old prior to the start of camp. And yeah. I hate it, because there's kids who are going to turn 8 years old the day after camp, and I'm sorry, you got to wait a year.
Okay. And what's the sort of, when is it time to do something else, I guess?
To sign up to be a staff member?
Yes. That's where this question leads.
Your 18th year
okay.
is when you must be a staff member, which means you get to come for free,
right?
If you will. But when you turn 15, that's your sort of last year to be a camper. And then you can choose to be a camper for the next 2 years, or you can choose to go into the CIT program.
And that's something that, Becky, you're heading up right now, is the counselor and training program.
Yeah.
Right?
Yes, we're going to be developing that this year, counselor and training. Last year, our oldest camper was about 15 years old, and so hopefully we'll have some CITs this year.
All right,
start mentoring our younger children.
Yeah, can you explain what a CIT is? Because I was there and I don't even know.
Well, CITs will be high school age kids that are mentoring our younger kids and then helping out and assisting with programming.
Okay.
And they'll be given limited amounts of responsibility and sort of freedom to sort of test the boundaries, but with lots of supervision, of course.
So, I mean... 2012 was the inaugural year.
Yes.
It sounds like there's a lot going on in 2013. To start with, it sounds like a much expanded staff. What do you have in store for this year?
It is. We haven't got our program completely down yet, so
okay.
I can't you know, name off bullet points of like really awesome, cool stuff. But what I can say is that we spent a lot of time after this, the session, you know, going through everything with a fine tooth comb and figuring out what worked, what didn't work. And we're going to, you know, overall, we knocked it out of the park, but you can always make improvements. We spent a lot of time being critical of ourselves and we're like, these are the cool things we're going to do.
I'm really rethinking, like, I'm actually really thinking about, I'm a little intimidated by my next radio segment because I gotta, you know, top what I did last year. I would be remiss if I didn't ask you this question. Mm-hmm. We did an episode, actually, you know, I did that episode at Camp Quest Northwest over the summer. What was the reception of the episode by the Camp Quest Northwest folks?
Well, when I heard it, I was actually taken aback, and that was because it really wasn't an Ask an Atheist episode. It was a documentary of our session, and I we were lucky because I haven't heard that done for any other Camp Quest session anywhere else. This really accurately portrayed what happened. If you ever want to know exactly what it's like to be at Camp Quest, come and listen to that Ask an Atheist episode, because that is what it was like.
I do have a part two to that has a lot of the material that I didn't get to include, because there were some really great conversations that just weren't what the direction the episode went in, so I had to take them out, and I want to play them all because you have some really interesting, really fun people.
That must have been a hard job editing that.
It was, because when I came into the episode, I was intending to do it more like an episode of Ask an Atheist, and then I interviewed these kids, and it became something else, because it really seemed like one of those moments where I would be an intrusion, the Ask an Atheist milieu would be an intrusion on this building narrative.
Oh, it was the same thing when I watched the you know, Elle, for example, do the interviews with Nightline. It was like, she said things more articulately than even I could.
Yeah. And that's what it came down to. I never really thought it was going to be a documentary episode. And it's one of the hard, you know, it was one of the episodes I put the ridiculous amount of work in it, because I started out in one direction.
You should be proud of it. You did great.
I recorded a different episode, and it's like, wait, no, what I had planned for this episode is complete crap, and I'm going to start over. And that was the result. And I was just sorry I couldn't fit more material into it. So Chuck, thanks for coming in.
Thanks, Ann.
Thanks for all the work you do with Camp Quest.
Thanks for all the help you do for us.
and Becky, congratulations, and we look forward to your continued help in the Camp Quest thing.
Thanks. We'll keep updated.
And the website is campquestnorthwest.org, correct?
Yes.
Okay. This is Ask an Atheist. My name is Sam Mulvey. With me today was Mike Gillis and Rebecca Friedman. My special guests were Becky Hale and Chuck Wilbur. Ask an Atheist is an NEDM Media production. As usual, our music is by Chris Coleman. See us at 5 o'clock at the Ale House. You can go to our website at askanatheist.tv. See you next week.